All right. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Creating Daily. And part of a live show is stuff goes wrong, especially when my elbow hits my little switcher there. So if you guys are watching the video, that's what happens. And you just got to go with the flow. So I'm super excited about today's show. I'm going to be talking with my new friend, Nikki Marie. Some of you may know her name because she is a super mom who was a senior executive who went to over 1 million followers on TikTok organically in 6 months. We're going to hear all about her story. But before we do, if you've watched the show before, you know I got some creator highlights for you, got some news. So let's go ahead. And I didn't even get to play my intro. I'm going to play it real quick just because I don't want to. I just want to play it. And my friend Sid is in the audience over here on Clubhouse. So here's the official intro that I missed because I was pushing buttons with my elbow.
And now, here's something we hope you'll really like.
You're listening to
Creating Daily.
There's something wrong with you. You know that?
Because you and I are like a mullet. Sid is the business, so he's the front part of the haircut, and then I'm the party in the back.
I think they're hilarious.
Speaks to me. It's like he's saying what I'm thinking.
All right, cool. That was the intro. Just wanted to play that. Always have fun. Now let's go to some creator highlights real quick. And I have a little stinger for it, but I'm not going to play it. But I want to jump over here real quick and talk about my friend Sean Spacey. He has created this cool YouTube channel called Support Ukraine Live. Now, his mom is originally from the Ukraine, so he's inspired to start this new YouTube channel where he's going live and having conversations. It says a series of live streams between real people having real conversations, talking about real ways to support the people of Ukraine as they defend their country. So go check that out. Really appreciate those guys. And this is also brought to you by our friends over at One Sheet Pro. So it's time to throw away that old crappy PDF press kit that you have. So if you're trying to get on more shows, more interviews, all that kind of stuff, go check out One Sheet Pro. They got an expert directory they're going to put you on there. And the more times you share it, the more bump you get within their directory. So the bigger it grows, more people are sharing it, you get it. It's like a nice way to network and to allow other media platforms to find you to be a guest. So go check that out. It's One Sheet Pro. And then if you want to look at it, it's onesheet.pro/Billy Thorpe. There you go. So I'll get it right in a second. And you can check out my One Sheet and see what you think. That is, I get the pro version, but they also have a free version as well. And my friend Brent from there is going to be joining us tomorrow on the show to talk about how to show up professionally. So if you're a content creator, you're looking to grow your audience, you're looking to grow your TikTok to 1 point some million people, this might be a tool that can help you out. Now, also a little bit of news here.
That's news to me.
Creating Daily. All right, cool. I just did that little stinger, so I had to play it. YouTube apparently is launching some new stuff here in the next several months. So be on the lookout for that. If you're going live from your phone, you can now invite people to go live with you. So talking about live streaming, being live here right now on Bullhorn, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, all those places, that's kind of a cool thing. I didn't even know you could go live from your app, but apparently now you can not only go live, but you can also bring people in as well. Yeah, awesome. All right, we got a couple of people saying hello. Andrew Milton says, I love One Sheet. And he says, what are you using right now? I don't know if you mean I'm using One Sheet or I'm using a bunch of stuff to go live. I don't know what you're asking there. But anyway, I'm going to shut up now. I'm going to bring my new friend Nikki on. We've had an awesome chat right before, so I'm fired up thinking about content creator stuff. And so to give her a little introduction here, she's a digital creator who describes her content as modern-day adulting by a funny mom with ADHD. Now, I don't know what the recipe of me having ADHD and her. We'll see what this live show turns into. Hopefully something super fun. All right, so let's bring her on, and let me make sure she's unmuted. What's up, Nikki? Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me. You're good. I like the intro set. I'm in this.
It was supposed to be so much better, and I was like trying to hit a button. I end up hitting my switcher, and then I forgot about the intro, but that's the nature of live streaming. I'm never going to nail it. Otherwise,
You're good. I've seen what I've seen. You're good.
Well, as long as I'm better than the local news, then I'm happy.
There you go.
Which maybe is not a high level to go after, but we'll see. So, Nikki,
I tidied up a little bit in the background. We were on before this, and I had like all the toys on the floor, and I'm like, all right, I got 3 minutes countdown. I'm gonna swipe up.
Dude, that you can tell yours. This proves my point of you being a super mom, because I would not have been able to do that in 3 minutes with all my kids' stuff. I'd probably just like thrown it into the garage and be like, you know what? I'm done with it. Forget it.
Oh, it's like over there in the corner. The place isn't clean. You know the drill. You hide it. It doesn't exist when it's hidden.
It's dark background, lights here, dark background. There you go. You got it. So Nikki, I'm really curious. So we reached out to each other, or talked to each other actually on Instagram about some other stuff. And then I was like, oh, hey, you want to be on this new show I'm doing called Creating Daily? And you're so cool. You're like, cool, I'll do it Monday. Let's go. And I'm like, awesome. So we started chatting about whatever. And then I jumped on TikTok and realized who I was talking to, because I've seen your video that's went viral where you basically got your babysitter a lot of attention from her being a good singer. Is that the video that went viral that kind of put you on the TikTok map? Or give me some background here. How did you go from senior executive to TikTok superstar?
Okay. I'm going to save the boring stuff for another rainy day. But how it really happened is 2017, I was like if you followed Sheryl Sandberg and her whole thing about lean in is about women in the workplace, lean in, get that boardroom seat. So in 2017, I was that woman leaning in. I was at the table with everybody. Had my son in 2016. He was my second child. And long story short, I just couldn't do it anymore. I was getting home at like 6:30, quarter of seven. You know, a good parent with little ones is getting them to bed at a decent hour. And I just felt this crazy, overwhelming amount of guilt. I had the life that most people would say is, you know, she's got it all. She's got the house, the paycheck, the title, the car, the, you know, the kids, the nanny, all that stuff. But for me, I wanted to be a mom. I always saw myself as a mom that was completely hands-on with my kids. So I made the decision to leave corporate. I was married at the time. He and I made an agreement that, all right, do some consulting, kind of step back, see what else is out there. Consulted, did great, thought, oh my gosh, I'm creating the life that I want for me and my kids and my family. Then comes divorce in 2019, horrible. And then comes COVID, like sneak peek. Hey, here's COVID too. Let's just give her everything at once. I went on to TikTok to play around with the app to kind of learn it, because like you, to be in the know for consulting purposes, everybody was talking about TikTok. So I went on to play around, and within 6 months had over 1 million followers, basically from just being myself as a COVID mom, you know, sharing momism, sharing the imperfect house, the imperfect moods, the imperfect acting kids. And I guess it was relatable. I think a lot of it was right time, right place, but also me feeling so comfortable being on camera was another big piece of the puzzle. And then viral videos happened. So the weird thing is I couldn't teach anybody if I tried to, like, how to make a video go viral. You know, when you watch the YouTubers, they're like, how to make a video go viral. I'm like, really? Is there a sauce, like a secret sauce to that? I don't know about that. But I've had several videos go viral. I think it's just, you got to have a knack for your message. You've got to have a delivery and a relatability, right?
Yeah.
So the babysitter one was not the first, but that was, it definitely got some legs because of the following, and it was a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yeah, that was really cool. And so how many, is she still your babysitter, or does she go on and doing some other stuff?
So she's like, my adopted niece, right?
Oh, okay.
It's like,
gotcha.
We text each other all the time now. The cool thing about that video is it went viral, and that was only within my first 2 weeks of knowing her.
Wow.
So our relationship went from, hey, Delaney, can you come help with the kids? You're on summer break before you go off to college.
Yeah.
To all of a sudden getting calls from Inside Edition and American Idol.
Wow.
And like, so our relationship went into full-blown like content mode within 2 weeks of knowing each other. So the power of social media is real.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you had and saw, she auditioned for American Idol because of that video, and she's going to Hollywood Week because of that video.
Yeah, I saw it. I followed the whole thing, and I didn't know who I was talking to on Instagram. And I was like, and then I was like, wait a second, I've seen this whole story. And I think I watched the whole thing on American Idol as well. And maybe that's how I can't remember. I can't remember how I, you know, learned about you. But anyway, it was pretty incredible. Cause I was going to say, like, how many people call you like, hey, Nikki, I'll be your babysitter. I can sing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, now there's like people that think I'm in the music industry that want me to. I'm like, no, this was just an organic moment, right? You can't replicate that. You just cannot.
Yeah, that's
and
so
another
funny.
Another thing is, I was just featured last week. Oh, this is not my proudest moment, but it is funny. Is I don't know if you ever saw my. I had a few viral, if you want to count viral as like over a million, right? A few million like views. My biggest, most viral video that I don't have pinned to my TikTok because it's not what I want to be known for is my son was 3 years old and he said he needed help with the effing jam. You ever seen that video?
No, I haven't seen it. I'm
thinking that was what put me on the map.
Wow.
That's what put me on the map. And I'm not saying parents go do that. Go get your kids swearing. But that's what put me on the map. I will be known when you see it as like the jam mom forever.
The jam mom. That's so funny.
And it was on Ridiculous. Rob Dyrdek the other day, it's on Ridiculousness as one of their videos on MTV.
Oh, it is. Okay. That's pretty cool.
So I'm on TV for two different reasons. The lovely mom who like looked out for her babysitter and then the mom whose three-year-old dropped an F-bomb, not once, but twice in the same video. So.
Hey, you know what? It is what it is. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Variety. You're putting yourself out there. You know, Rob Dyrdek show. That's pretty cool. I love that show, by the way, as well. That's so funny. Such a great concept. I'm like, wow. Why didn't I think of that? All right. So now did you like set out to say, hey, I want to be known on TikTok, or was it just you coming through as a mom entertainer?
So it wasn't anything. It was for me to learn the app. And I went on and I even put, so all my other social handles are Nikki Marie Inc. Right. Cause apparently I think I'm like some big incorporated, you know, company, but Nikki Marie Inc. just sounded cool way back in the early days of Snapchat and all that. Nikki Marie Inc. was everything. When I went on TikTok, I put an alias Nikki Unplugged. Cause I was like, all right, I'll just start. I thought it was just a silly app. Wow. I thought it was kids dancing and people acting goofy. And it kind of is still, but, I found a place on there when all these other parents were home with their kids and going, all right, I guess I'll go on TikTok too. So it was an alias, and that's why I have a different handle name. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. I love how like people just stumble upon something and they're just like, oh yeah, I'm just going to do this to learn it or maybe to have some fun or whatever. And then all of a sudden it explodes in the scene. Now you're on TV and you're getting people discovered and music wise, which is pretty crazy. So, you know, if somebody's watching this and they're like, all right, Nikki, you're in it. You're in the game. What is like one piece of advice for somebody trying to grow their community or grow their audience on TikTok? Is there something that you figured out in that learning stage that really worked, or was it just all pure luck?
I will say I've always been funny, right? Just because when you're funny, other people tell you that your whole life. All my friends just always laughed at me and they're like, oh my God, how are you're going to be on Saturday Night Live someday, right? So I've always had a certain sense of humor. So that's one thing. Relatability, I'm not afraid to make fun of myself, right? Mm. So I don't bully others. I'm always kind to other people. I never bully or poke fun on other people. I never will, but I do it to myself. I'm allowed to do it to myself. But what you said, let's rewind. You said any advice for someone who's trying.
Oh, yeah.
I will tell you, the trying thing is where people might get stuck. And I'm not saying that it doesn't take effort, but when we start trying to be somebody we're not, that's where you will really bring in the wrong people, in my opinion, right? So before COVID, I was on Instagram. I was just as present. I was just as goofy, but I was a lot cleaner and I was a lot safer because I didn't want to be perceived by potential clients as like a goofball. And then I worked with a very powerful executive coach. And he said to me, why does this personality of Nikki need to be separate from everything you do? Like, you don't need to be only silly here. Like, if silly is one of your superpowers and funny is one of your superpowers, that should be with you wherever you go. So kind of talking about authenticity, right? I think for somebody who's trying, you just got to know what you stand for. I tell people the simple thing of taking a post-it note and writing three words that you know you stand for, period. Three words, and put them above every single doorway in your house till you remember that those are your three words. And then everything that falls under that, if it falls under one of those categories for content, then it's the right thing to post. If it doesn't, then it's not authentic.
Yeah.
So it can be that simple. It's just really setting your intentions for what you want to put out there.
I love that, you know, because I think as I get older, I'm 35, I'll be 36 this year. I think in my 20s, I cared so much about what people thought. And of course, I was in a different business. I was in a different industry. I was in a nonprofit world where, you know, it was like, hey, you got to stand up tall and make sure everything's perfect. And then when I got in my 30s, I started listening to what people were saying. They were like, oh, dude, you're pretty good on camera. You're pretty good at doing presentation stuff, like you're pretty good at this. And then I started to lean into that. So it sounds like that's similar to what happened to you. It was like, oh, now I'm starting to listen to figure out, because, you know, like before I got into the podcast creation game, I was trying to figure out, like, how do I do media but get paid for it? Because I loved media. I worked in TV stuff before, and I was like, how do I get paid for it? And then all of a sudden it was like people were, you know, kind of pulling on me going, hey, how do you do this? And you're good on camera, and your lights look good, you're blah 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 blah. And it was at that moment of like listening to what others were saying about me that I really was like, oh, there might be something to this. So is that kind of similar to what happened to you? Like, you're funny, Nikki. Yeah. Nikki, your personality. How come you're so different? You know, or whatever. Like, yeah. What is that like?
Yeah, that's a really great example of like listening. We've learned to talk less and to listen more and to actually believe a compliment, right? You know how hard it is to accept a compliment in your 20s? I never bragged about myself in my 20s. Now in my 40s, I'm like, thank you. Say it again. Thank you. I need, because you have kids and they don't compliment you. So once you're a parent, you're like, you'll take them from anywhere you can get them. But I had my first job out of grad school. I had a boss who was awesome. And he took me and our sales team in as his own. But I will never forget, there was one morning we got up and we had like a team breakfast for one of our regional sales meetings. And I sat down and my hair was still wet and it was like pulled back in a bun and I didn't have makeup on. And I was a Division I college athlete. So when you're an athlete, you don't really think so much about your aesthetics all the time, right? Mm-hmm. You're like ready for the game. And he pulled me aside once and he's like, you know, just a few things I want to coach you on, because I think you'll be extremely successful if you just tweak a few things. One was like, don't show up with wet hair, you know, take the time to do your hair and put some makeup on. And he didn't mean it condescending, but it was one of those things I was like, really? And he also said, and not everything needs to be funny. And like, I'm telling you, Billy, like those three things, because I'm so coachable and I'm such an athlete, those three things probably echoed throughout my head for many, many years. And he didn't mean any of it negatively, but when you're a person who's driven and self-like, you're going to have those things echo. And I can't imagine having a daughter, right, as she grows up, who hears something and makes that become her reality. COVID came into my life. Divorce came into my life. It stripped me of my title that I always thought was so important, was like the wife and the mom and like the nuclear family. And the title of like climbing the corporate ladder, I was an SVP. Ooh, I had the Mercedes. I had the nanny. I like all of those things that I think back on, it was great and it made my life easier, but it's not who I am. I'm sporty. I'm funny. I'm unapologetic. I'm a little messy. I don't wear a lot of makeup, if any. And now it's like the world did this 360 for me. And now I'm back to like who I was before any of those opinions mattered.
Wow. So I love this. I feel like what you've been through, a lot of people get stuck in the cycle because, you know, we kind of grow up. I mean, honestly, especially in the United States, we grew up in this system. We grew up in a system and we're told how to act, how to look, how to talk, how to be. If you want to be successful, you got to do this. And then we kind of go through all these motions. We check all these boxes, miserable as hell. And then we get to the end of it and go, wow, I hate this person that I've become. And I think it's very few of us who, you know, get to reinvent ourselves or even get permission to reinvent ourselves. Now, I know life threw a bunch of stuff at you at one time between COVID, your divorce, and then you're like, well, I have nothing else but me. Like, I'm just left with me and I got to take that and run with it and lean into it. But I think that if a big takeaway for people watching, if you're watching live or you're listening to the replay, is freaking find yourself and lean into yourself. And if not, maybe put yourself in a situation where you kind of strip all that back. You know, my wife and I moved to Puerto Rico this year for 10 months. It's supposed to be a year, but we're going back a couple months early. And it is, thought we were going to be in paradise. It is paradise, but it has just ripped me away of every comfort that I've ever had in my entire life. But it's opened up this door for me to walk into and say, hey, this is Billy Thorpe similar to you, unapologetically, like, this is who I am, this is what I'm going to accomplish. So I love that you brought that, and I think a lot of people will probably click on this episode or hit the play button thinking you're going to give them 5 steps to be TikTok famous. And I think that is like the number one takeaway so far for me. So you've been able to accomplish that. So now you're in TikTok. Are you 90% of your time focused on TikTok, or what else are you doing in the creative space?
So believe it or not, I think, I could call some of it luck because I'm not that much of a strategy person. I like to create. What am I doing in that space? I'm having conversations like this with you to say, hey, listen, I expected when COVID was done to go back to consulting or to rebuild my business. And I think I said to you before the call, I said, oh my gosh, but I've got what everybody's looking for. I've got the secret sauce. I've got what brands want. I've got this amazing tribe of moms who are listening and who are eager to connect. So now that I've got that, I'm kind of saying, maybe it's less about consulting and it's more about taking the modern day world by the horns and being a digital content creator and owning it fully and not feeling silly about it. Because it's still, if I tried to describe what I do to even my dad, I'm like, it sounds like the teacher on like Peanuts. I don't even know what I'm saying. I still don't know how to describe what it is that I do, but you get it. And I'm sure this audience will as well.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what I always tell people. My father-in-law is like, so what do you do? Like, I talk to my friends on the internet. Okay. Like, that's what I do. Like, I don't know what else to tell you.
I like that. That's a good bio line.
Yeah, to make it super easy. Well, and I think it's, you know, I think in two, and I know there's been a lot of content creators like YouTubers and, you know, now Instagram and TikTok and all this stuff. And I think there has been money to be made. But, you know, in my opinion, being in this space all the time, I think it's probably the easiest time now ever than ever to really come into this game and create really good content, build your community, build your tribe, and get compensated for it. So now you've already stepped into brand deals. Can you tell us how some of those came together for you? Because yes. I think these guys would be interested in it.
I love it because I think we're misled. And I don't get pissy about many things, but what I get pissy about is when there are these creators who are making these empty promises to the everyday person, right? Like, did you know that if you have 1,000 followers, you could still make money? And they're putting out all these ways to make money. And I just think it's so misleading because it's not always the truth. What I do believe is that post the things you like, post the things you use, tag the brands you love, and start creating dialogue that's organic and natural. And I do believe it's like the, you know, the movie, like, Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. I was talking about Duncan throughout all of COVID. Because I was a competitor mom, right? I went to the other guy for my coffee usually. And then COVID hit and I was home with 2 kids. And I was like, I'm not going to go to the other guy because the other guy's in Target. And I'd have to go in Target with my 2 little kids. And that's a 10-minute drive. So Dunkin's right down the street. So I started going to Dunkin. And then I learned like, oh, wait, they've got new espresso machines. Their lattes are good now. And all these other things that they had been doing within their innovative team. So I kept tagging them. And I started using the phrase hot mess moms run on Duncan, you know, and like started just doing funny things. It's like the COVID mom. And wouldn't you know it? My most solid brand deal today is Duncan.
Wow.
So I wasn't trying to get a brand deal by saying hot mess moms run on Duncan with my messy hair and the kids in the backseat with the crumbs everywhere. But they knew that that was relatable content and they kept following. And here we are. They're a brand that I will see coming forward with me wherever I go.
Yeah, I love it. Because I think that's the authenticity is what we've talked about a lot in this episode. And so it is, hey, being your authentic self. And what you said, like, hey, I'm not going to the other guy because this person's closer. They get a drive through, whatever. I don't have to get out of the car. And so that's relevant. I mean, that's relevant to your audience, to your community. That is a big plus. And so for people to be able to, you know, go, hey, and I saw those videos and I was wondering when I was watching your videos, I see you Dunkin' Donuts, I see you pouring the vodka into it, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah, that will get you a real good persona as a mom. People like, oh, the drunken mom. I'm like, guys, it's a 10-second clip out of my whole 2 weeks. Give me a break. It's one nip. I should be using 4, but I'm using 1 out of respect to you.
I love it. I mean, that's part of it that got me hooked. One, I was thinking like, is if she got a brand deal with Dunkin', are they cool with this? And then I was like, she's not really drinking that coffee. It like sent me down this whole rabbit trail of like in my own mind of like, did she drink? I drink coffee. Should I be drinking liquor? You know, like I'm, whatever. Yes. Like I thought it was hilarious. Yeah. I love it. You That's should. A part of the committee thing. And I, you know, I think for what you said is like for some of these creators who are listening or watching, they're like, oh man, how do I get a brand deal? Be authentic with the products you use. Show them, tag them, yeah. do all those things, and let them reach out to you in some of those occasions. Yeah. So yeah, I love
part
it.
Two, like a really a part two to that is if Dunkin' just doesn't seem attainable to a listener, I would say, you know, because remember, I was on the opposite seat. I was the executive brand girl who thought that influencer marketing was like the worst. So let's go back to that. The irony in that was that I sat at the board seat and it was like, another person like talking about our brand and it seems so fake and like, oh, look at my perfect house and, you know, look at my perfect wrist with all the jewelry on it. I couldn't stand it, Billy. And here I am today like, oh, wait, that's how I get paid. But what's more realistic is there are so many brands that need user-generated content, right? Consumer-generated content, wherever. There are all these coin words for it. But that's where, hey, you could probably, if you're good at creating videos and you just don't have a following yet, why don't you go around your house, create 5 short videos, good ones, and send them to a brand on their DM and just say, hey, listen, if you had interest in using this, here's my cost, even better than DMing, because here's a pet peeve of mine. Most of the brands in their DMs are like most of the people handling the brand's engagement are not decision makers. That's a big pet peeve of mine. Brands need to figure that out.
That's good.
Opportunity galore, right? Put somebody higher up in charge of that. But you could find somebody on LinkedIn and just say, hey, I'm a good content creator. I may not have the following, but I've got a passion for creating videos that maybe your consumer might need. So it's not always about tagging and expecting this following to happen. It's maybe like build your world. Maybe start creating mini commercials for these brands. It's like a lot more affordable for them than, you know, the big ticket items, especially small brands and founders.
Yeah.
Like Etsy shops and all.
Now, are you on Amazon Live? Are you a creator over there yet? I'm going to say yet.
I'm not.
All right. We'll have to talk after the show because big opportunities over there. And I think some other big name brands are coming by too. But that's the thing. It's like what you're saying. It's like you literally on Amazon Live, go make stuff around your house. Go make videos about products and put them on there as shoppables or do live streams about them, that kind of thing. So plenty of opportunity. Thanks for sharing all that information with us, because I know that's a big part of being a content creator is like, how do I get paid? How do I do this full time? How do I go from, you know, how do I replace that senior executive salary? You know, I mean, that's, I imagine for you, that was a big like, oh crap, this is hitting the fan. I got to figure this out.
Yeah, I think once you have a good relationship with money, it goes everywhere with you. So when COVID happened, I think most people would panic, but I just knew, I believe so much in myself to be able to look at the current situation and say, all right, this may not be what I thought it was going to be, but how do I amplify my opportunities around this? Whether it's learning or educating, you know, Gary Vee was the person who kept saying TikTok, TikTok. So really I'm indebted to him for getting me on there. But yeah, there's always ways to monetize. You just can't follow somebody else's lead because that person is not you. You can't take a person and try to go exactly the route they did. You're not them. You've got to pave your own way and create your own path and find people like Billy and I and others to get ideas from, but don't try to be somebody else or else you'll attract the wrong person. It's like dating, right? Putting yourself on a dating app and being like, oh, I'm fun loving and I love this and I love that. And then you've attracted the wrong guy.
Yeah, right.
So it's the same thing with building your audience for social, like attract the people that you want to be in DMs with.
I love this. I love that, you know, you're so focused. Because I think a lot of people think like, oh, you just go on TikTok and you just dance and you do all this, but you're really focused. Like you have a plan. You're creating content for the people that you want to be a part of your community. And I harp on this all the time. I'm like, if you want a brand deal, you gotta go find the people that are valuable to the brands you want to work with and create this awesome community. It doesn't have to be huge because we monetize with a very small audience, but it's gotta be pure and it's gotta be the right people. Because I often, and maybe you have a different thought, but I think of what we do as content creators, when you're talking about Dunkin' Donuts, when I'm talking about, you know, Academy Sports, Marine Warehouse Center, it's really word of mouth marketing, which from my knowledge is still the most powerful type of marketing in the world. That's why ratings, reviews, stars on products make this big impact. Do you agree with that, or do you think it's something different? I mean, is it word of mouth marketing for you? Is that kind of how you feel about this?
I think it's whatever you want to call it, word of mouth marketing. I think it's, we are in a influencer. What's the term somebody used with me the other day? And I was like, oh, I'll start smarter. I'll sound smarter if I start using that term. It was like a content economy, right? It was some big word saying
creator economy or something like that.
Yes. Yeah. Creator economy.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at brands because I've worked with a lot of brands and I've been approached by a lot of brands. And it is so wild that most of the people who don't understand this are the brands. There's so many brands missing out on content because they can't, well, we're paying this person for this. Like, what's the ROI? It's not always like, why did brands used to go on radio repeating the name of their company? The name was on repeat, right? The name was on repeat, or the jingle was on repeat. Nobody was buying something immediately. Now we all want instant gratification, including the CMO in the room, who's like, oh, I need to know if we spend $3,000 on this ad, what it's going to get us in return. Maybe nothing. But if you do it the right way, you're going to, next time that person needs your service or your product, they're going to remember you. So it's like, I'm good at selling the emotional equation of things because I know that that works. So yeah. I don't know if that answers the question, but emotional connectivity to a brand is what sells it in the end.
Yeah.
Right. Well, or necessity.
Yeah. Cause I mean, you think as a content creator, you're on TikTok, you're crushing it, you're on Instagram, you're crushing it. You're starting these other things, other projects, you're going to crush it, but you're showing up every single day in the most intimate thing that everyone carries around their whole entire life, which is their phone. I mean, you take people's families away, they'll be okay. You take their phone away and they're going to crumble. And so you're there, you're relating to them. There's some people in your community, in your audience, that if you just randomly walked into their house right now, they'd be super comfortable and would get you a coffee and sit there and let you talk to them. And that's the power that I feel like at us as creators, you can call it influencer, whatever you want, but we're building these communities and people trust us. And so that is the value. That's what I always pitch to these sponsors. They're like, well, your CPM rate's a little high, don't you think? I'm like, yeah, but the value of my audience is much higher than a CPM rate. That's why I'm not charging you a CPM rate. I'm charging you way more, because the value that my audience brings is way different. So I think it is a powerful position for us as content creators, but also a great responsibility to make those brands match up super well. So that'll be my last question for you. And then I'm going to open it up for a little Q&A from Clubhouse and from Bullhorn. Right. Awesome. But how do you get all these brands into your inbox? How do you cipher through them? Like, who do you decide gets picked up and who doesn't?
If they are saying, hey, we'll send you something and we want you to post a 30-second video for it, I'm like, whoa, nice to meet you. Can we date first? Because if I haven't reached out to you and I don't know your product, what I'd rather have them say is, hey, listen, we love your content. Not a cut and paste job. We love your content because we saw the video of you with the backpack. And we love your approach. We would love for you to do something similar with us, but can we send you a product, see how you like it? That would be an amazing first date.
Gotcha.
Right? So I like to be wooed. I mean, listen, this is my billboard. This is my life. This is my time away from my kids is put into what I'm putting out there to my audience. You don't get to just get a sign on, Highway 95 because you like the creator. You got to pay to have space there. So yeah. I like to think of my page as my billboard. You don't get it for free. And if you're going to get it, it means I'm truly using you in my home as a product or as a service. So how do I sift through? I pretty much know if they've done a cut and paste job where they're just talking to everybody like that, right? Like the one-liners that the guy will throw at you like, ooh, you're pretty. I like that color on you. You don't even know my product. Or, oh, we love that you're so body, self-body conscious. And I'm like, when have I ever talked about my body? No, you're delete. But if they come and they say, hey, listen, this is a post of yours that we loved. Here's what we think your audience will relate to. Can we send you something, or how do your terms work? Then yeah, let's have the conversation.
Yeah, so. That's awesome. And now, is it the same on the flip side? Are you, when you reach out to brands, what's your strategy there, if you don't care to share?
I'll share it.
If that's behind a locked door somewhere that we need to pay for, no problem, but.
Nothing is behind the locked door. There's room for everybody here. So what I typically do, I'm like queen of audio message on Instagram. I think that's how you and I chatted too. So I'll leave an audio message. I'll be like, hey, I'm a momfluencer, you know, and I'll laugh at myself. I'll be like, that term cracks me up, but here's what I saw. Here's where I think you'd be a great fit. Here's what my consumers ask me about a lot. And I would love to see if there's opportunity to engage. And usually they'll respond with absolutely, where can we send you product? Or here's the right email address to send your media kit and all that stuff to. And I just kind of take it from there, but I always start on DM. And if I really want something and I can't get the answers on Instagram DM, I go to LinkedIn. You can always find somebody on the marketing team in LinkedIn to listen. And listen, I don't want to dangle any false carrots. I get listened to now because they look at my following and they're like, she must know what she's doing. So there is something psychologically to be said about the person with the following gets the attention they do. It's just the world we live in.
Yeah.
So that's the hard thing to hear. Maybe for people who can't attain to that 1 million and up yet, there's got to be smaller steps.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I love that. And I'm sure I could ask you questions for the next 20 hours, but I'm gonna open it up to anybody over on Bullhorn or anybody over on Clubhouse. If you have any questions, feel free to drop them in the chat. If you're on Clubhouse or on Bull, hold on, let me see on Bullhorn. Let me make sure call in is on. You feel free to call in or ask your question in the questions box there. And then also over here on Clubhouse, feel free to raise your hand. We'll do just a few minutes here of Q&A. So I got a couple of questions. Oh, actually, questions are firing off over here in Bullhorn. So we'll kind of go through them one by one here, Nikki, if that's good with you.
All right. I like this. It's my favorite part.
Let's see. So Sam wants to know over on Bullhorn, what's the first video I should make on TikTok?
I would need to know what Sam's about. Sam's thing, right? So let me just, if he or she can answer that, ask and see if they bust out an answer. But I'll just say, if you make the best French press coffee, I don't know how to make French press coffee. I would love to learn how to make fresh press coffee, but I would need to see somebody who knows what they're doing and makes the best, and they could dummy it down. So I would say, what you know, assume that no one else knows. That's where we think like, oh, who will care? Because this is like so easy for me. But most people don't know. So dummy it down. I'm like the dumb girl's guide to like motherhood. That's why people like me, because I dumb it way down. So I would say to Sam, what is it that you're good at? Are you going to inform us on? Are you going to entertain us? Are you going to educate us, right? What are the things you're going to do? And then how do you dumb it down so that your first video is, hey, if you don't know how to make fresh press coffee and you want to learn, here's the easiest video to make it. I'm in. Yeah. I'm going to try to make fresach press coffee.
Yeah, I love
it. I will be Dunkin' Press, right? I could be Dunkin'.
Keep it. Yeah, that's great advice. I think like you said this whole time, like lean into yourself, lean into what you're good at, lean into love, you know, what you love, and kind of focus. And even if you change it, you know, I think a lot of content creators think like, oh, I'm going to start out as the podcast about podcasters. Well, I've done a lot of stuff since that podcast, you know, and I think you can evolve as a creator and do different projects and that thing. So love that advice. All right, we got Nick over on Bullhorn as well. Says, do you think that any brand can leverage TikTok, or are there any examples of brands that you think would not benefit from having a brand account?
I love that question. And Billy, chime in too. I have consulted for brands who were dying to figure out how to TikTok. And I straight up said to many of those brands, you're not meant to have a page on TikTok. You're just not, right? So take a silicone ring brand. Silicone rings that I wear, okay? These are for me, for fashion. Some people wear them for their wedding band. I don't think they need a TikTok page of their own, but I do think they need to whitelist some ads with some of their favorite content creators and let those content creators do their own spin on the branding message. So if there's a comedian who's got a mad female following, me, let me do what I know my audience will resonate with. So brands need to take away the control that they want so badly of, it must say this and it must say this and it must do this. No, because those don't always work. If you're gonna give it to an influencer to market your product, let them do what they do best for their audience. And I promise you, it will pay off.
Love that. Yeah, no, I love it. I think that's a huge, you know, like you kind of said earlier, like some brands get it, some brands don't. And you're not always going to be in control, but you'll probably find your purest messaging through the people who use and love your product anyway. So I also have a silicone ring. Love mine, by the way. Any brands out there who want to be a part of the show, I can show it every time. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm going to hook you up. I'm going to hook you up. We're going to make a brand deal.
Let's go. Oh man. I have so many people, Nikki, that I think would benefit you to know that are in this space that are helping content creators. Cause you're a wealth of knowledge, and I'm going to end this. I was going to ask you three random questions, but I've asked you so many random questions, but I got one more, and this is going to be my last one. You've talked about being funny, being comedic, being a comedian. Is there anywhere in your future goals or vision board where you are standing on stage performing in front of crowds of people, like as a comic?
So I love that. It's not comic, but I do see myself on stage. I always have. I was that girl who would see somebody public speak or make an impact speech, and I always knew that it was going to be me. So I think that's somewhere ahead for me. My comedy will, of course, come somewhere into the mix. It will just be present everywhere I go, but it won't be for stand-up comedy or anything like that. It'll be something much more empowering. Just don't know what it is yet, but I'm going to let the universe do its thing.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for being on the show. Is there anything that I didn't, you know, ask you or guide you to answer that you want to share?
No, I just think, you know, if anybody's got more questions for me, hit me up. I love that we met on Clubhouse. I think there's opportunity to connect. I'm really good on Instagram DM. If there's anything I didn't answer, it's Nikki Marie Inc. And then I would say just, Billy, let's try to do this again. Let's do some stuff together.
Yeah,
I think we can help a lot of people.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. I enjoy it. So it was so random, out of the blue, but so much fun. And then also those links, guys, are in the notes if you're on Facebook or YouTube or maybe Twitch. I don't know. Somewhere there's links. I put a list of links. Your link is in there, your link tree, so people can go learn more about you and follow you around and learn from you. Success leaves clues. So if you're not following Nikki and you want to figure out what is she doing, go follow her. Go figure it out. Be yourself, but you can still learn tips and tricks along the way, because that's what I do. I just follow around people that I inspire to be, you know, getting the same results.
I love that you said success leaves clues. It's one of my favorite quotes. It is so true.
Yeah, so I would have said who quoted it, but I don't know. I just stole it and used it. I don't know who it was.
I've done that too. Yeah. It's a great
quote. Nikki, really appreciate you. And we're definitely going to be doing some more stuff and have you back on the show. And who knows, we'll chat offline and see what we can come up with. Thank you so much.
Awesome. All right.
All right, guys, that is it over here at Creating Daily. Once again, if you need to know how to follow Nikki or where to find her stuff at, there's probably some links around you. If not, you can reach out to me or reach out to her and go follow her on TikTok as well. It's Nikki Unplugged there on TikTok if you want to see what she's doing and check her out. And once again, tomorrow we're going to be back with my friend Brent Basham of One Sheet Pro, which was the sponsor of the segment earlier today. 2 p.m. Eastern time, so mark your calendar, come back. If you're a creator, this is going to be a tool that you need in your tool bag so you can show up more professionally, get booked, and build your audience and grow your community. So that is it for now. We appreciate all of you guys tuning in and subscribe, like, follow, do all that fun stuff, and let us know what you think about the show. All right, we'll talk to you soon.